So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Daniel's son and Johnny. Arnold slash Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a crane kick to the head of Johnny. And Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion. Bergeron! Bergeron!
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Dave Gosher is the television voice, along with Shane Knighty, the sheriff. Of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and people go, why are you having Dave Gosher on?
Oh, everyone knows.
Because the story's insane.
It's the best story in sports right now, without a doubt.
Well, it's insanity that Colin Miller can play for a team and he can play 18 minutes a night or whatever the hell it is and they can win.
Riley Smith is going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, Riley Smith and Colin Miller.
Yeah, I know. It's just... It is insane, and it really just says everything about chemistry, doesn't it? Isn't really talent, because these are all people who were essentially discarded from their other teams.
No, not essentially. They were discarded.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Unprotected. Dave Gosher, hello.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Well, thank you. Are you in Vegas right now?
I am sitting in Vegas as we speak.
Well, it is very early. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Sure, no problem.
Let me ask you this, Dave. So if for some reason the Las Vegas Golden Knights end up winning it all, what are you going to substitute for duck boats? And get the blank ready. What is it going to be?
Well, he won't be calling the game, he'll be doing it in his living room.
That's right. How about this? Since you can't do the call, since I guess Nationals taking over TV, would you like to do the call here on our show? Or just recreate it for us?
Like Bellagio Fountains could fit in, right?
Sure.
Bellagio Fountains, any of the above would be just fine. But yeah, I'd have to, I'd be sitting up. That's the weird thing, guys. Like it's, you know, in radio, obviously, you go as far as the team goes. But after the first round, Shane and I, you know, we do some pre- and post-game TV stuff. But it's very odd to sit there and just not, you know, not be calling it. But you know what you signed up for. But I'd probably go with the Bellagio Fountains.
Yeah, Mike Gorman said it's like, because he's in the same situation as you are with the Celtics. And he said it's like, you know, dating a girl the entire school year, but someone else gets to go to the prom with her.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it's taken a little bit of getting used to. Like, I've never been a part of that before. But, you know, there's not a lot you can do about it. You know, it's been unbelievable to be part of this, to be honest with you. You know, you said Fred and a lot of people, that it's insane that this team is going to play for a Stanley Cup. It really is. But, you know, I think you guys hit on it a little bit. You know, this team is made up of guys that were deemed expendable for whatever reason by other teams all around the league. And I think they really use that as motivation as a group. I don't think there's any question about it that, you know, they came here with everybody with a chip on their shoulder that they wanted to prove they could play and could play well, and they've been able to do that so far.
As a guy, Dave, who watched them every night, when did you know that there was a chance that they could do this?
Yeah, I think Rich maybe around Christmas. You know, they were pretty good, really good actually to start the year. I think they won 8 of their first 9 games. And then Tampa Bay came in around Christmas time, and Washington and Pittsburgh, 3 of the best teams, you know, I think in the league and certainly in the East, and they beat all 3 of them. And they beat Tampa Bay with 2.5 seconds left in regulation one night to beat them. And so I think right around Christmas for me, you know, Shane and I would look at each other throughout the season a little bit after certain games and say, you know, are they going to be able to keep this up? And, you know, you think, all right, can they get through Thanksgiving? Where are they going to be at Christmas? How about the All-Star break? And then, you know, the next thing you know, here they are in late May getting ready for the Cup final. So, but I would say probably around Christmas, and then, you know, they went in the first place, I think, 2 days before Christmas, and they never left.
Dave, Marc-Andre Fleury was basically a salary dump from Pittsburgh, and you can't blame them because Matt Murray won them a Cup. But I think regardless of how everyone has come together and regardless of how team chemistry is factored into it, Fleury's the reason that Vegas is where they are.
Well, he's also a huge factor in the team chemistry. I mean, he definitely is keeping that team loose.
Yeah, I agree on both fronts, guys. You know, he's somebody that, look, I wouldn't say I know him well now, but I've been around him a lot for the last 8 months, and he's phenomenal. Like, as a guy, he's everything you kind of think somebody that's won 3 Stanley Cups you'd hope he would be. He's a terrific guy. You know, it's funny, one of the things that doesn't get talked about, I think, enough is he missed 2 months early in the season. He suffered a concussion. I think it was six games into the year. He was out 2 months. They could have been done because he got hurt. You know, they picked up Malcolm Subban right off waivers from the Bruins. He got hurt. They had another goaltender get hurt. They were into their fourth-string goaltender by Halloween. And, you know, they managed to kind of keep their heads above water. But Fleury's been, you know, when he was out, they missed him on the ice for sure, but they also missed him off the ice. They missed his personality. And I think that's when I said earlier about guys that have something to prove. Like, I don't know if he has much to prove. I mean, he's got three Stanley Cup rings, but I think he's well aware that the last two of those cups, Matt Murray was in net for the Penguins. And I think he wants to prove he's still got a lot of game left, and he's the main reason that they're where they are, especially in the playoffs. He's been off the charts.
All right, Dave, let's talk about the difference between covering the Boston Bruins, where it is kind of a bare bones, like blue collar presentation. When you know the game starts, they throw on a little music and the place goes nuts. And covering a team like the Las Vegas Golden Knights, where that opening ceremony before the first game that you held for the Western Conference Final was so over the top in its presentation. It had castles, it had knights, it had fire, it had explosions. What has been the biggest difference as far as the culture of hockey in each town is concerned that you've noticed?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. but look, you know, they've got a great production team here and people that have worked in different markets and in different sports. You know, our main guy out here, Johnny Greco, used to work for the WWE as one of their main production guys.
Of course he did. After watching that,
it makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think, look, they realize you're not putting a team in Columbus, Ohio. You've got to do it different. And I think that's been the main, you know, kind of the main focus of, you know, not on the hockey side, but on the entertainment side for sure, that this is Vegas. It's not a different city. It's one of the, you know, it's the entertainment capital of the world. And you know what, Rich, if you came here for a game in March, you would see a similar open. Like, it's crazy. Every night they managed to find something different, although the guy the other night before game one, I think they raced him, like, to the arena, to the roof of T-Mobile Arena or something like that, the guy that was depicting the
Winnipeg Jet. Yeah, there was a Knights duel in the middle of the ice, and when the Golden Knight won, the guy had a cable attached to him, and he flew up to the top of the arena like Gene Simmons.
Yeah, it's nuts. He was out, and they had like a jet flyover, and you know, Shane and I do, and for the home games in the playoffs, when we're not doing it, we do like hits up at the castle, just, you know, kind of keys to the game or whatever, intermission stuff. But, you know, they had Wayne Newton here the other night ringing the siren between periods. Billy Gibbons was here from ZZ Top.
That's a who's
who.
How'd they jam those two superstars into the arena?
And we're hoping for the cup final that the Tutcher and Rich team will be able to pick
out. I wouldn't mind going to that. I mean, so are you as big of, like, I mean, the hockey culture out there, you don't think of Vegas as being like a city that has like a huge presence as far as people who've lived there their entire lives who have craved hockey. It almost kind of seems more of like touristy, just from, you know, that's what we know of it. We go there, we leave. But this has been something that the town has embraced. Are you as big of a star now in Vegas as you were when you were here?
Well, I guess star is a stretch. That's a big stretch. No, I will tell you the biggest difference for me is like that move from radio to TV, like just that. You know, you're in people's living rooms or you're on at the bar somewhere. That's a little bit different. You know, that's taken a little bit of getting used to. So, yeah, I think it's a much different animal for me moving from radio where, you know, even though I did it there for a good many years, there's still a certain degree of kind of anonymity, whereas once you move to the other side of it, it's a bit of a different story. I will tell you, though, it's been unbelievable, guys. Like, people love this team. They love this team out here. And it's not, you know, they wanted an identity away from the Strip. The Strip is great, and it is what it is. But people that live here, like I said, I've lived in Boston most of my adult life. I've never walked the Freedom Trail. I've never done a trolley tour. You know, if you live here, you might go down to the Strip for a show or you go down for a Golden Knights game, but it's not the center of what you do. And I think they wanted an identity away from the Strip. And I will tell you, the other thing, guys, and it's a horrendous reason, but those shootings October 1st, I mean, it literally happened 5 days before the season started. So that's kind of been the backdrop of everything. You know, we all lived through the marathon bombings, obviously, and I think people out here were looking for something like we were back then, something good, you know, even if it was a couple hours a day to distract themselves and grab onto something positive. So the team's done an incredible job of really, I think, helping people feel better. But now it's gone on to all the way down the road here where they're waiting for the Cup Finals to start.
Well, think about it. I mean, in 13, the Red Sox used the Marathon bombing as almost like a rallying cry. I mean, you remember the This Is Our, you know, effing city when David Ortiz went out there, and they tend to go on a run. I mean, those things are real. You know, I mean, it does bring together a community, and it does seem to happen after a tragedy where you get the local teams kind of rallying together, and things like that do happen. So I could see that completely being inspiration.
Yeah, the Bruins did it too, Rich, right? I remember Rene Rancourt letting the whole crowd sing the national anthem a couple days after that, and then, you know, the Bruins went to the finals that year against Chicago. So, yeah, I think that's been an enormous part of it. Yeah, you know, look, if you live, and we've seen this year, if you live in Winnipeg or Toronto or Chicago or St. Louis, and especially where, you know, you can have long, cold winters up, you know, in some of these markets. I mean, people will come here and they'll spend, there's a lot of teams come here and they play Vegas and they'll shoot over and play Arizona. Well, if you could make it a quick little four-day trip and get into some warm weather, why wouldn't you do it? So there's a part of that, but they sell out every game here, standing room only. They jam in, I don't know where they put people in this building, but it's been unbelievable. Every night throughout the regular season, it's felt like a playoff game. Well, now here they are, playing real playoff games and playing real big ones.
No, it's an incredible story, and next year they'll suck, but nonetheless.
I hope not.
Well, Dave, you and I both know this is not happening again.
Yeah, but Dave, enjoy it and soak it all in, and it's been a great story. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right, guys, anytime.
All right, we appreciate it. Yeah, they're going to be horrible next year.
I don't know whether I want the Capitals or the Lightning to end up moving on to take them up, because I hate the Capitals, and it's funny when they don't even make it to the Stanley Cup final. But then again, it would be great to have a real villain. I mean, that would be a lot of fun if the Golden Knights, a team in its very first year, beat the Washington Capitals, who have Ovechkin on there, and it was just a snake bit. It would make that almost even
funnier.
Well,
they're going to lose Game 7, because of course they're going to lose Game 7. They had a chance to put Tampa away last night.
But isn't the story of their failure even funnier if the 1 year they make it to the Stanley Cup Final,
sure,
they lose to a team in its very first year of existence?
They've only been to the Cup Finals once in team history, and they got swept.
See, I think that's even funnier. I almost kind of want Washington to win now and move on, and then lose like horribly in the Stanley Cup Final.
I think everyone's rooting for Vegas, but
well, of course, everyone's going to root for Vegas. But then, I want a good villain.
There you go.
They will not make the playoffs next year. I can tell you that.
Billy Gibbons with Dave Gosher.
Billy Gibbons with Dave Gosher, right there.
I can't believe you're in Vegas and you got Billy Gibbons.
Like, we all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
Steps back on Horford. His 19-footer bounces out. Scramble for the rebound. Big put back in close by Kevin Love.
Second chance opportunity. That's where Tatum has to be a man size and pull one of those rebounds down.
Cavs plus 8 on the glass. Jaylen Brown open for a right side 3. He didn't like it. Chased it on the miss. Rebound Kevin Love. Quick outlet. Here comes LeBron. Got to admit, choose your poison here. LeBron stumbles to the basket and scores. 4 quick points. And it's back to 11. 100-89.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Celtics continue their futility on the road as they fall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now the series is tied 2-2, and you would have to imagine it's a fairly must-win situation coming up tomorrow.
The most shocking thing about that game last night is after a dreadful, dreadful first quarter, just horrendous. I think they missed 9 of their last 10 shots. Jaylen Brown, who's usually Mr. First Quarter, was getting blocked by Kyle effing Korver twice, which, as I was saying before, made all of the people in the booth orgasmic last night.
Oh, man.
I told you he's a great defender.
That Korver misunderstood, a better defender than you think.
I'll tell you what, this guy's got what it takes. But the most shocking thing about all of it is after that awful first quarter, the Celtics actually outscored the Cavaliers every other quarter, second, third, fourth. They were the better team, but they just dug themselves in such an awful hole at the beginning of the game. And it's just, to me, that says mental toughness, because the shots they were missing were 15 layups and dunks. And that's almost inexcusable.
Yeah, better start, you know, eliminates all the talk of how great a job Tristan Thompson is doing on Al Horford. It eliminates the Kyle Korver defense. It eliminates all of that stuff.
Well,
if the Celtics get off to a better start, LeBron is going to score 40 or 45 points a night. That's he's that good, and no defense is going to take that away from him. But if you can slow him down a little bit at certain points of the game, you force other players to beat you. J.R. Smith has been wildly inconsistent. Korver has been good at times, but never for a long, for long periods of time on offense.
Saw Jaylen Brown just one-on-one with Korver, and he said, how is he just, again, I said it before, you could take Jaylen Brown, say he never played professional basketball, you take him out of the Y, and he should be able to take Korver every single time.
Oh, that was just, that was bad. And that's the moment, I mean, if you're Jaylen Brown, you really got to put on a show on game five, because you got to make up for the embarrassment.
Well, his second half was really good.
It was good.
It's overshadowed by the fact that he got blocked twice by a guy
not only
who doesn't block anybody.
It's just that they if he's isolated on Korver, that should be a non-starter.
Yep, without
a doubt. It should just be like, okay, that's a bucket.
Yeah, but it happened twice.
Yeah.
Twice.
I think you'll see a little extra in the first quarter tomorrow night.
Well, you see, I don't want them to feel that way because, I mean, at home it's going to help a little bit, but, I mean, what we've seen is these guys trying to go hard, and they end up making these mid-range, or, you know, attempting these mid-range jumpers, and boy, just Marcus Smart yesterday couldn't have played any worse. Now, once again, they actually made a point on the broadcast, and I felt the same way. Is as bad as he was playing yesterday offensively, you still want to see him out there on the court.
Exactly. And the moment, again, looked too big for them early. I mean, they were lost on Saturday night. The first quarter, once again, their eyes were wide open. They were missing tons of shots. And then in the last three quarters, they settled down.
Now
they played better. I think that'll carry over.
Let's address this one more time, because I'm continuing to get people tweeting about this, and this seems to be a huge narrative. And that's concerning this right here.
Marcus Morris alone, right side, three in the air is good. And they're going to call a foul, I believe, on Morris for reaching out and tripping Love. That basket, are they going to count the basket and then...
Marcus Morris. This court.
Nope. They haven't put it on the board. Normally, in that situation, they count the basket.
Oh God. How can you make that call, though? He didn't kick his leg out.
It was one of those calls. Morris shot the three. Love tripped over him.
Look at the leg.
That was not a kick out. That was not a World B Free move.
Okay, as I was saying earlier, they're obviously in bad seats once again in the arena, because he absolutely kicked his leg out. Now, it wasn't a huge kick, but it's something that gets called on Draymond Green every single time he does it. There was no reason for Marcus Morris to add that little extra with his leg. Now, Kevin Love, you know, flopped around the floor and sold it a little bit. But either way, that is something that will be called every single time. And there's a lot of people complaining about the refs. Last night was a game you should not complain about the refs about.
That wasn't the reason
there were bad calls on both sides.
And you could say Morris picked up five fouls, but so did Kevin Love.
Kevin Love was in foul trouble super early.
Fouls in the end were about the same, and Cleveland missed a ton of foul shots.
And if I got to trade one for one, if it means Marcus Morris getting in foul trouble and that means that Kevin Love does, I'm cool with that.
I mean, Cleveland missed, I guess we did the numbers, 15 of their final 16 attempts from three. I mean, that game was there to be won.
Yeah, I mean, they got their stuff together, especially in the second half, because they held them to 43 after a postseason high, or it might even have been a season high for the Celtics. Was it 68 points or something like that going into the half?
Yeah, they were not good. Yeah, 68 points, 34 in each quarter, and they gave up 43 in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously can't do that. And that's also another reason why I think that you start Aaron Baines. You gave Marcus Morris several chances, and in game one, he was excellent against LeBron, but then again, I also don't think LeBron was playing at his full potential. He even admitted that.
Well, Cleveland figured out a way to get LeBron away from Morris.
LeBron is getting his shots in. He's scoring. This big defense that Marcus Morris is supposed to provide isn't worth the amount of rebounds and toughness you're going to get with Tristan Thompson under the basket when you have Aaron Baines there.
The whole thing was that Morris can handle LeBron on the perimeter, and you saw that early, and Cleveland made an adjustment. How many times did we see a pick and roll at the top where you got a big guy matched up with Terry Rozier or whatever guard was there down low? And LeBron just kept looping it in Cleveland. Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson kept scoring. The Celtics changed up their coverages in the second half, which is why I still think you'll see Morris out there.
Yeah. I also think that last night is the game that made you sit back and go, you know what? This is why Kyrie Irving is such a special player. Because if he was in that game, there would not be those lapses at the end of quarters. That he would not shrivel up when it comes to playing away.
We'll see a lot of missed shots at the rim.
No, without a doubt. I mean, that was infuriating at the beginning of the game. How many missed layups? And you know, there were a couple times, too, where I saw them pass up the easy shot. the missed dunks, there's no excuse for that. And Jason Tatum, of all of them, I mean, you know, on the road, maybe he's not mentally tough as we thought he was at 19 years old.
In the first half, as the game went on, I thought he played better, much like Jaylen Brown did.
Because when you're down that much, you're almost careless. You know, you're not careless, you're carefree. It's like, all right, well, we're losing anyway, so let's just play the way we play. And that pressure isn't there as much.
All right, Dan, go ahead, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just calling to see, what about possibly, maybe not starting, but Semi playing an extended role? Did a pretty good job against the Bucks, and I think to beat these guys at home, it has to be more of an ugly game, you know, a mid-90s, high 90s game instead of a high-scoring affair. Let me know what you think.
I just don't know if Semi Ojeleye is the guy you want to start here against LeBron James.
Difference maker.
He was against the Bucks. He's right. But I just think if you're going to make any change, you put in Aaron Baines. I mean, his toughness down there. And by the way, some of those missed layups that people are saying, oh, they're just, you know, layups being missed. A lot of it was because Tristan Thompson was down there. And I don't know if it's the intimidation factor or whether, I mean, but most of those layups were right at Tristan Thompson. And I don't think it's any kind of coincidence that a lot of those missed layups had to do with him being right in their face at the time.
And getting back to Ojeleye, you're forced to play him. I mean, the Celtics are playing eight guys. If you're not going to play Greg Monroe, there are only so many bodies available at this point. They played eight guys last night, and I think Ojeleye played 9 minutes. I mean, it's a shortened bench to begin with. And the problem is with Ojeleye, you lose him on the offensive end. One of the few good points Mark Jackson made, Ojeleye hit a three, and Jackson said, that's found money. And you're right. But I think at this stage, you can't afford to play 4-on-5 at one end of the floor.
And the good news is, sounds like that Larkin might actually be back for game 5. I know that before yesterday's game, he looked really good and he was putting up shots. But, you know, Brad Stevens says we don't think he's ready to go. There is a chance, and that could give you at least a little bit more depth, you know, when you need it so badly.
Larkin and Ojeleye, baby.
That's right.
Taking you the
this
promise.
Is what we're
dude,
down this to. Is the, this is what you're at, man. This is where you are. This is how thin your team is right now.
Minute-by-minute updates of Shane Larkin's shoulder. This is where we are.
All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What are some things we'll discuss?
There were a lot of people yesterday trying to shove it in the face of Burt Breer for a tweet that he had almost a year ago. We will get to that. Also, huge news in the WWE. I know Jay Stu was all a flutter yesterday. And on top of that, Roger Goodell has issued a statement on the legalization of sports gambling.
Oh,
it's
boy.
All about the integrity of the game, Fred.
Of course it is. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stat.
Johnny at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on in the world?
Well, a tweet that I saw Burt Breer's several times yesterday of people saying, in your face, Burt, you don't know what you're talking about. Surprise, it was from a year ago, and people dug it up and wanted to say, hey, guess what, you were wrong the whole time, even though it's not really been proven. But either way, Burt Breer on May 9th of last year tweeted this, quote, the number one reason Colin Kaepernick is unsigned, he's not considered a starting caliber player by any NFL evaluator anymore. Work from there. So all this information now has been unearthed as a part of Colin Kaepernick's collusion grievance against the NFL, including documents and witness testimony during depositions. Now, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, it shows these documents show that, quote, teams viewed Kaepernick as being good enough not simply to be employed by an NFL team, but also to be a starting quarterback
Skapow.
For an NFL team.
Get Take out that. Of town, Bert.
All takes exposed.
You're fraud. Man. You're a fraud.
That's right. Well, he was one of many. There were a couple other people that they named, like Dieter Kurkenbach of Fox Sports. However, they're saying that
Dieter Kurkenbach article on Fox Sports is a think piece.
That's true. What do you search? Do you search Kaepernick and then not
Dieter,
good?
Dieter. The only Dieter I remember is the character
Sprockets.
From Sprockets.
No, it's time with Sprockets when we dance. That one, which, by the way, was going to be a movie, and it could have had potentially a good movie.
Yeah, it could have. Mm-hmm. Right. Mike Myers is just weird.
Yeah, very difficult to work with. I you know what's funny? I read an article recently about Mike Myers and why he just kind of disappeared. And I guess that even on the Mike Myers sets, or on the sets of Austin Powers, he was unbelievably tough to work with, which I had never heard till recently.
What's his face? Garth. He has a big problem with Mike Myers.
Oh, Dana Carvey?
Yeah, he did not enjoy working with him.
Hmm. Oh.
That's very strange. He's now trying to come back into the movie industry by doing smaller indie roles.
I think it's always a good idea. That's what the Rise Man did, Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser would take anything you gave him. Paul Reiser is in all these like little comedies now.
Well, Paul Reiser was in one of the best movies of the last 5 years, that being Whiplash, but he was just like in it for like a couple of minutes. He was the dad of the drum kid.
Paul Reiser took us on a roller coaster ride that was Mad About You, and he wrote the theme to it. Tell me why I love you like I do.
That's coming back, by the way. That's a reboot they're doing.
Yeah.
Mad About You reboot.
I'm absolutely mad about you.
That is like, I don't
know. Hold each other's hand as we journey to the final frontier.
I've never seen a minute of Mad About You.
Oh, you're missing out because he's simply mad about her.
All I know is, I guess he is. All I know is that he was the weasel from Aliens. So who ended up getting killed?
Well, he was in Diner, which you got to give him a pass for. But Mad About You is exceptionally frustrating a show to watch in that he's insufferable. Not so much.
Do you remember that? What was that stand-up special we used to play clips from? You know,
but he's like, you know, what is it with melons? Like, you got to touch a melon, huh?
That's right. Don't eat a piece of melon that's too soft till you can enjoy it. Why?
So, you know, you're looking at melons there in the grocery store. You touch it, it's soft. You go, do I want this? Not so much.
Here it is. This is him right here. I think this is it.
Don't eat a piece of melon that's so soft you don't enjoy it. I won't. I know that.
Okay, right.
These are things I know.
He is infuriating. It's not that good. But that's coming back. So they're rebooting that because
everyone needs more Helen Hunt.
They do need more Helen Hunt. You know what the best thing about Kevin Can Wait failing is? Is because they brought Leah Remini back. And they killed off the mom, which is hysterical because they never really explained it. They just killed her. I'm saying she's dead. And they brought in Leah Remini. And now because that failed, they can't reboot The King of Queens.
Perfect.
Because they know that the two of them didn't do enough together. You did not recapture the magic.
Yep.
So any kind of chance they had to once again making millions and for Kevin James to resurrect his career is now out the window because of such a shady move.
Anytime you start season two of an 8 o'clock sitcom with the lead character putting up cellophane all over the walls and floor so he can dismember his wife's body.
Well, I mean,
that's going to start. and he slips in the blood and he turns around and he's like, what?
Whoopsie-doo. He was just trying to watch the game.
He was just trying to dismember a body.
Right. Like his hands were all like greasy from the buttered popcorn that he was munching on. The knife slipped out of his hand and fell into her chest. That's how she died.
I'm simply mad about you.
That does not sound like a good show at all.
It was not.
All right. Well, one show that many people do like is SmackDown, WWE SmackDown, and a huge announcement yesterday, Jay Stu.
Do tell.
SmackDown Live is not only leaving the USA Network, but it's also leaving Tuesdays.
Oh.
It's going to be heading to Fox beginning in fall of 2019.
Foxes are like big cats.
Well, they will air it on Fridays, which is probably perfect for their audience. So, and I guess there's a lot of money that they had over there. I mean, really, what a power move. That is definitely exactly what you want. See, we've done this research, and we've learned that most people who enjoy this show, they're not doing a lot on Friday night.
Do I watch that or Full House?
I don't know what you watch. There, Chase, do.
Friday night, TGIF.
That's right.
Thank God it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Hollywood Reporter noted that the deal would be worth $1 billion over 5 years. Oh, my
billion
word.
With a B.
Yes, it is billion with a B.
Ted DiBiase somewhere is pissed.
Yeah, he was only $1 million man.
He's only worth $1 million.
That's not a lot of money nowadays. So the move to Fox will mark the first time the WWE has been aired regularly on one of these so-called Big Four networks.
Hey, I'm a Fox. I'm sly.
Like Sly Fox? Let's go all the way, should we? Let's go all the way. That was a hit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what also was a hit?
What's that?
An anvil that fell from the three-story building.
Thank you, Jay Stu.
Right on the Roadrunner's head.
No,
you know what also was a hit? Mankind falling into barbed wire. Ah.
It was a grand slam. That's how he used to tweet.
It was a grand slam.
Mad About You is... Oh, I mean, look at this picture somebody just tweeted us. I mean, that's like the most...
It's just, he's like, I'm going to dress like an 80s comedian, you can't stop me.
All right, he's just missing a bolo tie.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, he's all set. Well, this is Roger Goodell has issued a statement on the legalization of sports gambling. He said, as it was for my predecessors, there is no greater priority for me as the commissioner of the NFL than protecting the integrity of our sport. Our fans, our players, and our coaches deserve to know what we are doing, that we are doing everything possible to ensure no proper influences affect how the game is played in the field. Then he goes into all of these things that basically set them up for trying to get paid for using all of their names and logos when it comes to any kind of betting website. He said there should be guarantees. There should be substantial consumer protections. Sports leagues can protect our content, intellectual property from those who attempt to steal or misuse it. And that's where they are trying to get paid, is that no one can use the actual names of the teams without ensuring
like
that they get
dribble.
A cut. Double dribble. Although the Bulls were on double dribble.
Were they the Chicago Bulls?
They were the Chicago Bulls, but it was the Boston Frogs mm-hmm. and the L.A. Breakers. But for some reason, the Bulls were cool. There was a fourth team, too. Who was the fourth team on double dribble?
I do not know.
Hmm.
You played it. I didn't.
Double kibble. I was the yeah. Bulls every single time because there was a spot right by the three-point line that if you did it, you never lost. You hit every kind of 3 points. It was like Kyle Korver last night, except with way better defense.
I'm being told it was the Chicago Ox.
Okay.
Are you sure?
I don't know if we're sure, but that, okay. That's the theory from the other room.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it. It was definitely the character looked like a bull, but maybe it was an ox. Yes, John.
ESPN has just put out its top list of the 100 most famous athletes in the world. They have factored in
Messi.
They have factored in internet searches for the particular players, endorsement money, and how many people follow them on social media. Those are the three factors involved in ranking these top 100. By the way, Kyrie Irving is 27th on this list.
Well, a lot of basketball players got on there.
So, I think that bodes well for the Uncle Drew movie, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a huge hit.
Yes. Who is your guess?
Messi.
Messi is third.
LeBron James.
LeBron James is second.
Dancing Ronaldo.
Ronaldo is first. Cristiano Ronaldo, Neymar is fourth, and the rest of the top ten, Roger Federer, Tiger Woods, still sixth, Kevin Durant, seventh,
Phil Kessel,
Rafael Nadal, eighth, Steph Curry, ninth, and Phil Mickelson, tenth.
Roman Reigns.
Right. That's right.
That's sports entertainment.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, you take it.
Conor McGregor, 18th,
slap.
By the way.
Conor McGregor not doing anything.
18th.
No. Conor McGregor just saying, I'm not fighting.
Yep.
Maybe he should possibly take a fight, earn some money. I know he earned a lot, but that seems to go fast when you spend the kind of money that he Instagrams about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. We will be back. We will find out what not only Zolak, but Bertrand have on the way for you.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't sleep. You calling the police?
No.
Well, go ahead, call the police, bitch.
And then he went right to sleep. You sound like the Harvard Square hippie puppeteer that won our most interesting.
Okay.
You sound like that guy.
Yeah. Well,
he was creepy, man.
Yes, he
Are
was.
You happy with 84 cents on the dollar?
All right.
He's not around anymore.
I haven't seen him in a while.
No, he's not.
Well.
He was only around that one year.
Well, what are you doing?
What's up, bud?
What are you doing?
You sitting next to Wallach again?
Why? Why?
Out, my man.
Okay.
Johnny Wall game.
All Johnny right. Wall game!
What do you got? We got to be brief on the crossover. Get out on time today, guys. We're starting, obviously, Celtics-Cavs from last night, but we will be carrying Bill Belichick's press conference live at the bottom of the hour.
So okay. He's going to talk.
And here's the thing, and here's the question I have. Will he get out in front of this like he did prior to the start of the OTAs and the offseason training where he said, remember the voluntary stuff? It's going to be voluntary. We've talked to a lot of guys. Let's see if he gets out in front of the Brady Gronkowski stuff before the questions start. So we'll be right on that live at the bottom of the hour.
I will talk about the people who are here today.
I don't know if they'll be.
Out of the playbook.
I think it'll be
though.
A little lighter.
Yep, it is.
That is out of the playbook. I'm only talking about the people that are here.
Find out 10:30.
Now, do you think it's a big deal that Brady's not there?
I think he's making a statement. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're going to stress it's the importance of it for the other 18 years and how important every single walkthrough and meeting and OTA and throwing session is to get you ready. It's a process. Yeah. I think it's an issue.
Because some people are poo-pooing it. They're saying it's not an issue. Some of the Patriot fans.
Well, I mean, I understand. See, as players, too, like, these become monotonous.
Yes.
But all they want you to do is get out there and think and do football activities. Really. That's what this is. We want to get you in control of you, meet four times a week, get out there, move around. So you start thinking about football instead of just drifting off.
Does he need this?
I don't think he technically needs this because this is his offense. He doesn't need install. What they're doing is installing. But what he does need is to get on the Berrios kid. They need to get on the same page with him.
Right.
Like, Mitchell will be fine. Gronk will be fine. Edelman will be fine. It's everybody else.
Yeah,
like
because Amendola.
Kenny Britt's having issues with the offense to begin with. Like, you know, it's. Yeah.
He also took a running back in the first round that probably could use some experience with Mr. Brady.
Sure.
Yeah.
Another excellent point, Fred.
Thank you. I've been
this week, huh?
Woo. I'll tell you what.
Looking good.
It's supposed to rain today.
Brief chance. Late. It's going to be a 1/10 of an inch. Very, very light passing shower, they said. I watched a lot of news in the morning.
Thank you.
I know the totals. I know the time. All of it. All the games will be on today, boys. So anybody's wishing for cancellations, too bad.
How many games do you have to go to a week?
About 2 or 3.
What does your son play?
Baseball right now.
How's he doing?
He likes it because his friends are on it.
Yeah.
He ain't playing AAU. I know that.
Yeah, you're not a big proponent. You're not a big
no summer ball, no AAU ball. No way.
You're not a big proponent of that. At what age do you think that that's appropriate?
14 plus.
High school?
If you're into it.
Yeah.
Middle school, maybe. 8th grade.
Do you think that...
Starting around 8th grade.
See, I'm always curious because you would know.
If you're playing on a 3rd, 4th, 5th, even a 6th grade AAU team, they're taking you for your money.
Okay. Because really the skills that you develop at that age are kind of unnecessary. You could develop
them later.
Unless
your kid can twirl the ball in his finger and he could do a crossover between legs like LeBron's kids.
Because your daughter...
That kid should play AAU.
Because your daughter was a very, very good athlete. 6'1".
She's okay, yeah.
No, but it burned her out. She played it.
She didn't play her senior year.
Oh, burned really?
Her out. Wow. Her out. Killed her grades, burned her out. AAU kills the grades, burns you
what
out.
How old was she when she started playing AAU?
Oh, 8th, 9th grade.
How many hours did you put in? Like, I mean,
that was the problem. You'd have to 2 practices a week, you know, 2 2-hour practices. And if you got to drive an hour to get there, that's 5 hours a day.
I know a 10-year-old who's on two travel basketball
that's
what
your grade
teams.
Suffers.
And a local basketball team.
Okay, now this is a true story. Her knee was bugging her, and she's got an odd hip in the way the leg swings, so I took her to Guerrero, and they got her on the machines and everything, and he figured all this out. And I'm just briefly talking to him. He goes, I got a lot of girls coming here. I'm just going to tell you this now. I know she plays one sport. He goes, I got 37 ACLs of girls that are young teenagers or 10, 11, 12-year-olds. He goes, their legs can't keep up with what their parents got them doing. Club soccer, the kids have played multiple sports. Never let your kid play multiple sport.
At a time, right.
At a time.
Right.
There's a lot of kids in lacrosse and soccer right now, and a close friend of mine, his kid's ACL just went. And she plays club soccer.
A lot of people screw their arms up, too.
I told you a year ago, get her out of it.
A lot of people screw up their arms, too. All right, we'll get you out on time, and you can listen to that Bill Belichick press conference when he's coming on at 10:30, you say?
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for us. I hope everyone, you know what, take care of yourselves today.
Be careful out there.
Be good to yourself, as Journey says.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Nobody else will.